Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is Philip, a Dedicated, Spirit-Filled Layman. The text is from Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 35.
You have a great privilege, young people, that I hope you understand in some measure. Not only being trained by competent, highly qualified people, but dedicated Christian people. You can't buy dedication. There's not enough money to pay for it. Either it's in the heart or it's not in the heart. It is in the heart of your faculty and staff. And they're worthy examples for you to learn from and emulate, to learn about the Christian life and Christian character, the service of Christ. And I'm so thankful that God has put you here under such people as these. Dr. Lawson, in his closing comments, talked about the fact that schools just don't make it to 100 without abandoning their Christian heritage. Harvard didn't, Yale didn't, Princeton didn't. The list is quite long. Just around 100, that's when they gave it all up and said that somehow our Christian roots are a hindrance to our being first-tier academic institutions. Our commitment to you here is that you shall not have finer, more thoroughgoing educational training anywhere. It is not available anywhere to a greater degree than it is here. But our major commitment to you is that by the grace of God and through the lives and commitment of the hearts of people like this, that you shall love Jesus Christ more when you graduate, and that you should understand that a life apart from Christ is a meaningless life, and that temporal things disappear so quickly and eternity begins, and only what's done for Christ will last. That your lives might be to take the learning you receive and use them for the glory of Christ, for eternal gain. I would like to thank Dr. Robert Crane, president of Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, and his student body for numerous letters that they have written, little notes that they wrote, just scores and scores of them, expressing love and concern for all of you, for this university family, as we have been mourning the loss of three of our students in the last few weeks. And I appreciate so much their entering in with empathetic understanding and with the assurance of their prayers. Before I very briefly turn you to a passage of Scripture, and you may want to be turning to Acts chapter 8, while I make this announcement. But please listen to the announcement. It's about the Bible conference offering. The university is at a moment when, in time, when, like everyone else in this country, it is facing a lot of financial strain. Speaking of this to some this morning in the business area. But we're going to take the Bible conference offering in its entirety for the faculty and staff, people that you know well and love. Whatever is received will be dispersed in equal proportions to each of the 1,700 plus men and women who serve on the faculty and staff here. And so I would ask you, as a real love offering to them, that you do in excess of anything you've ever done before, and you have done some wonderful things. You have sacrificed hugely to make these offerings possible. Last year, your sacrifice was unexcelled. And those of you that were here last year know that the offering was between what you did and the graduates did. staggering amount, far in excess of anything that was ever given before. But whatever it is, it will be distributed equally for everybody. So, would you start praying for that? Will you start saving and sacrificing for that? Maybe you would like to talk to your mother and dad about it and say, you know, our tuition, though it's costly and always increasing, doesn't come close to paying the annual amount of the university's operating expenses. And the largest part of the university's annual costs is the salary of faculty and staff. And it should be so much more. The university would desire for it to be so much more. And the only way we're able to keep your costs anywhere close to what they are is the sacrifice of the faculty and staff. They make a fraction of what they could be making somewhere else, but that's not the issue. That's not what brings them here. It is not the money. But I think this is a great opportunity. When all of us, our budgets are stressed, when your personal budgets, when this university's budget is stressed, when the whole nation's economy is in disarray, what a wonderful time to say, our faculty and staff need this too. They're just like the rest of us. And there's some great needs. And here's a time for us to do without and to show them how much we love them. So that's what this is all about. I want to thank you ahead of time for what you will do. And it's going to be here in just a few weeks. So we need to be thinking about it now and making provision. In Acts chapter 8, we read these words beginning at verse 25. You know about the persecution against the believers in Jerusalem. That verse 4 of this chapter says, caused them to be scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Part of that was a gospel team led by Philip, a layman in the church, who, along with others, went and preached Christ in their scattered condition, fleeing the persecution. They were in Samaria. And while they were there, verse 25 says, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And you know the story. The Ethiopian man of authority came to know Christ, was baptized there, and went on his way. The scripture, of course, that was read was the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And here we have the translation from the Hebrew and the Greek into the English. Here was a dedicated, Spirit-filled layman. Most of the work of God, if it's going to get done, will not be done by the preachers, but will be done by the greater group, the laymen, laywomen in the churches. You know that we speak here often about you graduates who don't have specific direction upon graduating and going out with your degree. Attach yourself to a struggling, newly established, pioneering church somewhere that has a paucity of trained lay leadership and a lot of new converts, and they need some examples of the believer, and you could go and fill that role and be a lay helper to the pastor. Put your career on hold. Forget your career and go for 3 years and say, I'm here to help you, pastor. If I have to cook hamburgers or dig ditches, that's all right, My purpose is not my career. My purpose is the ministry of Christ. And I'm here to help you in whatever role I can fill, as pianist, as song leader, as visitation, prayer partner, whatever I can do for you, Sunday school teacher, that I might be able to help you with these new Christians to bring them on to spiritual maturity. What a great resource you are to the cause of Christ. You who are not called to stand in a pulpit or called to go in a missionary capacity, but you are all called to the ministry of the gospel. I don't have time to go back to Acts chapter 6, and we read again there of Philip and of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. The first Christian martyr of the early church was not a preacher. He was a layman who loved Christ and spoke of Christ, and with great infilling of the Holy Spirit and great heaven-sent power, proclaimed Christ to the pagan Roman world. And for that, he was stoned to death. The great work of the Lord is done not by preachers, but by Spirit-filled, burdened lay people, like the vast majority of you are going to be. And I just want to try to impress on you from these passages of Scripture that God needs you in a lifelong gospel ministry. You might work in an office, you might work in a factory, you might work on a farm, you might be a homemaker, whatever it is that you do in life, you are always on duty every day, all day, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You live in a convoluted world, young people, you know that. You can't come to any other conclusion if you listen to the news or read the headlines of the paper. This world is on fire, and nobody has an answer. The very moral fiber of the people of this world and of this post-Christian era, the very moral fiber, the very glue that holds even the lives of the unconverted people together and holds their homes together and holds their businesses together. We're talking about character, and we're talking about integrity, and unsaved people can be people of character and integrity. But the world is without much of that today. And the tragedy is the Christian world is without much of that today. And so things continue to collapse and unravel. There's no human solution to the world's problems. And the least of all possibilities of solution will come from the United Nations, the most ineffectual and foolish group to be assembled anywhere on the face of the earth. Man doesn't have the solutions for his world. Education doesn't have it. Politics doesn't have it. Government doesn't have it. Finance doesn't have it. It comes out of the Word of God. Where the Word of God has gone and become the basis of the laws of people, of a nation, to the degree that the Word of God has a permeating effect, wholesomeness spreads through the nation. Decency that even the ungodly benefit from. But there are very few places in this world where any such thing exists anymore. But it exists in your hearts. The gospel is the only answer. We're all grieved with the abortion industry in America. We're all grieved that 8,500 people worldwide die of AIDS every day. 8,500 a day. Fewer than 3,000 people died in the collapse of the World Trade Center. Three times that number die every day worldwide of AIDS. It's all out of control. There's only one answer. Things are out of control, and people's lives are in a mess, and innocent babies are being killed, 1.5 million of them a year. The AIDS epidemic is killing people worldwide every day. The reason is sin. Sin is the problem. The only answer to that is the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. The Savior. The God-man. The sin-bearer. Who took our hell, our condemnation, our judgment on Himself. And sets us free from the penalty and the guilt of sin. And through the cross brings us into His family. The song we sang this morning spoke about the glories of this earth when one day He rules and reigns. The Scripture says He will. Hundreds of Scriptures of the Old Testament prophesied His first coming. Hundreds prophesy His second coming. Nobody disputes He came the first time. It's an historical fact. His death is an historical fact. His bodily resurrection is a recorded historical fact. His second coming will be an historical fact one day. It is now a prophetic fact. You and I have the greatest privilege in the world, and that is to take the gospel, the saving, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ, to every creature. Anything the devil can do to short-circuit you so you don't get your training and get out trained and ready and able and equipped to serve Jesus Christ, anything he can do, he will do to make you quit and turn aside or to get diverted to believing that other things are more important than getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost world. He's the only answer. I'll leave you with this. I've told it before. Some of us were in New York City on some business a few years ago. I believe Dr. Gustafson was there at the time and others. We were riding in this cab. I tried to make conversation with the driver and said, how long have you been doing this? He said, this is my first day. I said, I wanted to say, stop and let us out. It's your first day driving New York City. I don't know if I want to be with you or not. But I sat there and I said, what did you do before this? He said, well, at one time I ran a security business in New York City. I had about 85 employees, but he said it got so bad I couldn't stand it. You couldn't depend on people. They wouldn't show up for work. It was a madhouse. They were all out to get you. They were all out to sue you. He said it just wasn't worth it. He said, I quit that. And he said, I'm now a city councilman over here in such and city in New Jersey. But he said, I've gone crazy with people ringing my telephone off the hook, wanting the potholes fixed and this little thing and that little thing. He said, I just had to get out of the office so my constituency couldn't find me. So he said, I decided to drive a cab 3 days a week. What he said. I said, yeah, things are pretty bad, aren't they? And I said, that scenario you just described for me about the difficulty you had keeping your business going, I understand about that. The character's at a pretty low state in the world today. I said, what do you think's the answer? He said, I don't know. He said, I guess somebody's just going to have to ride in on a white horse. I said, that's exactly what's going to happen, sir. Revelation 19, John said, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness doth he judge and make war. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven which followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and so forth. And he is clothed with a vesture, and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our Savior. The world that rejects Him now. The world that uses His name as a curse word. The world that laughs in scorn when you talk about Christ, the God-man. God in human flesh, the only Savior. The world that says, well, there are many ways to heaven, laughs when you say, well, Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. God has made provision for our sin problem. He has taken our condemnation, and by His grace we are saved, not by our works. He has done that for us. The love of God is infinite and cannot be described in human terms. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Young people, don't ever grow weary of that good news. It is the only good news, by and large, the world will ever hear. And of all the good news, none can compare to this. This is freedom. This is liberation. This is the sinful soul, the enemy of God, set free and made the friend of God through the righteousness of Christ, how wonderful our Savior is. And the world doesn't know Him. It's up to you who are laymen and laywomen to go tell the world that Jesus saves. Get ready for it. Train to the foolish for it. And don't ever turn back. There's nothing else you can do with your life that can matter like this. Let's stand and pray. Dear loving Lord, we love You because You first loved us and gave Yourself for us. This day, each of us here who knows You in this room would be hellbound. We would be without hope in this world. Had somebody not come to us with the gospel, had the Holy Spirit not used the Word of God to open our understanding and bring us to Christ, Lord, we have an obligation to others that they too might know Him whom to know aright is life everlasting.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.